officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery Monthly. This is our success call, and I'm very excited to have all of you here with us today, those of you that are listening via webcast, those of you that are listening here on the live line, and those of you that are listening to this through MP3 or CD. Welcome, welcome. I'm really excited about our topic for today, which is about transforming limiting beliefs. That's right. We can sometimes get caught up in not realizing our goals and not feeling at peace and, you know, having all kinds of challenges that come our way. And so often, if we just take a peek at what's going inside between the ears in our beliefs, we can identify that there is a lot of influence at play. So we're really going to be looking at that in full force here today. Here's what's on our agenda. We're going to talk about how we unknowingly reinforce limiting beliefs that sabotage our success, relationships, health, and inner peace. We're going to look at 4 steps in the belief cycle and how this may be interfering with realizing your vision. We're going to identify your most empowering beliefs and some of your most disempowering beliefs so that we can consciously choose the ones that are most in alignment with your goals. We are going to look at 8 ways that you can transform limiting beliefs in a matter of minutes. And, you know, once we begin to transform those limiting beliefs, we want to really integrate these new empowering beliefs in your life so that, you know, that it's not just, you know, okay, I think something, and we want to really have it in every core of your being. So that's how it's going to really change your life. So that's what we're going to get into here today. There's one little thing I want to do first before we dive into the content here, and that is I've got a brand new forum that I've just recently put up in the Momentum Mastery Forum. It's the Momentum Mastery Prep Forum. So if you go to momentumnow.ning.com, if you're already registered in the Ning Forum, which I believe most of you are, if you go there under Forum, and if you go to Momentum Mastery Documents and Handouts, you'll see that in there is basically all the handouts from all of the calls that we've had previously. So if there's been a supplemental handout, and you'll see at the top of the list is Momentum Mastery Prep Form. So you can go to that. If for some reason you're not already connected in with the Ning Forum, be sure and send an email to Sam, S-A-M, at lifecoachmary.com, and she will make sure that you are connected in with Momentum Mastery Forum so that you can access. This is where you'll find all of the recordings. If you click on Forum, you'll see that one of the other items that's always featured is the one that says call recordings and transcripts. So you can always find those there. And then each week I'll have a set of follow-up notes that you'll find. Usually it's the top piece. You can see that the follow-up notes from our last call on January 18th is there, the key to inner peace. So this is a place you'll want to frequent. And I'm going to be announcing here in the next week or two when we first launched Momentum Mastery, there was a lot of sun activity as everybody was getting connected to the forum and kind of, you know, posting their picture and kind of reaching out in this community. There's so many extraordinary people in Momentum Mastery, and I really want to leverage this as a resource for all of you. So I'm going to be having a little contest, a little ways I'm going to be looking at those people that are most active in Momentum Mastery, and I will be giving away a couple tickets to my Inner Peace Immersion Retreat. So this is a way to get a scholarship to the retreat. The Inner Peace Immersion Retreat is going to be held November 8th through the 13th in 2011. So mark that on your calendar. now through actually February 7th, you can actually get a ticket to the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat for just $99.70 as the first payment, basically 10 payments of $99 or a painful price of $997. So if you want to secure your spot at that price, you may sign up for that. If you want to get a free ticket, you can actually still sign up, and you may get your ticket comped if you know you're one of the most active people, and that's posting your top three goals. That's including posting your Momentum Mastery prep form, interacting with others, making comments on notes, reaching out to other people. I'll be kind of looking at all of that. So is a little incentive. So all of you are hearing about this for the first time. You'll be getting some emails more about that later on. But now that I'm off the road from traveling, my big focus and attention is on Momentum Mastery and really making this just the most amazing resource, one of your favorite places to come and participate in, week out, and really having it make a big difference as it relates to both your success and inner peace. So, since I'm talking a little bit about the reason I brought you to this page is under the Momentum Mastery documents and handouts, you'll see the Momentum Mastery prep form. And this is a focus form that can make a huge difference in your success over the coming year. It's basically a modified form of what I send to my own one-on-one coaching clients to help them prepare for our one-on-one coaching calls. But as I've led group coaching programs over the years, I had some of my participants saying, you know, I really would love something to kind of keep us connected to the content and material week to week and keep us focused on our goals. And so I modified one of my coaching prep forms and created a boot camp prep form, which is now transformed into the Momentum Mastery prep form. So if all you do each week is complete this form, and most ideally post it, for the next 90 days, I will be responding to all of the prep forms that get posted in the Momentum Mastery Forum. So you can report your progress. So I'll go, just in case some of you don't have the form in front of you right now, I just want to name some of the key questions here. So what progress have I made toward my top three goals? So this is a chance to name your accomplishments. In my opinion, we do not do enough acknowledging and celebrating of the things we're getting done. We're most often focused on all the things on our to-do list that are not done. So this is a really, just that piece alone is so, so valuable. Second question, what has contributed to my sense of inner peace over the last week? Great things to acknowledge there. Third question, what inner peace culprits interrupted my connection? And how could I eliminate this inner peace culprit? So really to look at that, because as we begin to take note of what is interfering with our inner peace, especially if it's showing up week in, week out, we've got an opportunity really to address this and make a shift and a change. So fourth question is, what daily ritual or now practice did I thoroughly enjoy this past week? So earlier in the year, you'll find a call there in the recording section, one on daily rituals, another one on now practices, so you can access both of those. And here's an opportunity just to hold yourself accountable to doing those now practices, doing those daily rituals week in, week out. And then the next question is sort of a follow-up. What daily ritual or now practice would I like to give special attention to over the coming week? So if you have been meaning to set aside some time to meditate or get to the gym and work out, and you want to really make sure that that is something you commit to extra, here's a great way to name that here publicly. Fifth question is tolerations. List the ones that you got rid of in the past week. So tolerations, as many of you know, is a topic we've covered here in Momentum Mastery. And here's an opportunity to name those And that toleration basically being one of those little pesky energy drains that hasn't gotten done. It's, you know, like, I need to get the car washed, or, you know, I've got piles sitting in my office that I need to get taken care of, or, you know, I need to hire a house cleaner to make sure that that's happening on a regular basis. Maybe it's just your favorite sweater is missing a button. So those are all examples of tolerations that can drain your energy. And one of the most fabulous structures is to really consistently be addressing these tolerations week in, week out. So using this form and checking in by naming both the tolerations you got rid of so we can celebrate, and next part is, you know, which tolerations do you intend to get rid of in the coming week? So just naming 1 to 5 that you really want to focus on. I know recently I'm in total toleration clearing mode. So, you know, to see, you know, these little things, scheduling appointments for, you know, doctor's appointments, or, you know, getting office supplies ordered, little things like that. Number 6 question on here is, what am I grateful for this week? What are my top 2 magic moments? So kind of a combined question. What are you grateful for this week? An opportunity really to allow yourself to step into a high vibration energy and really connect to those feelings of gratitude and appreciation. And then 2 more questions. Number 7, what new distinctions, realizations, or insights have occurred to me over the past week? So it may have been related to our last call together here on Momentum Mastery. It could just be related to, you know, in your own life. But what I find is by naming and not just, you know, articulating it out loud, but, you know, putting it onto paper, articulating it into words, what those new distinctions and realizations are, has a way of really anchoring in that new insight. It's actually one of the keys to integrating a new belief, a new goal. That's how we do it, writing it down, articulating it in a public venue. And then finally, 8, what are my conscious commitments for the coming week? What are my top 3 inspired actions? So here's that opportunity again to look at those top 3 goals that are important to you and really list out what are those conscious commitments for the coming week. Not only do I recommend this form for my clients, it's something that I personally use myself. And even when I've led my own group coaching programs, I would actually fill this out and share it with the entire group. Even now, I've got my own coach, and every single week I fill this out and send this off to her and get feedback. And it's one of the things that keeps me focused, keeps me accountable, also keeps me acknowledging what I am getting done, because that's one of the best blessings, is to feel your progress as you're starting your week. Much better to start your week feeling, wow, you know what, I actually did pretty good last week, and here's some of the things I wanted to get done, but I'm gonna, you know, recommit to this over the coming week. Really super powerful. So I wanted to put this at the front of our call here because I just added that last week, and it's going to be something that I bring some attention to. And it's one of the ways that if you commit to this process, I'm going to bribe you to fill out this Momentum Mastery prep form so that you know, you can also win a free ticket to the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat. 5 days of a lot of good stuff. So great. And I do see that we've got at least one person who was at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat. So maybe at the end, depending on time, we'll hear. Well, actually, let's just... Randy, are you here?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
You know, I know I totally didn't know you were going to be on this call or not, and I'm going to totally put you on the spot. would you mind just sharing just your thoughts about how was the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat last year?
It's an amazing experience in an amazing location. Interestingly enough, I was telling Mary over the weekend that getting there was part of the process of being there.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you would call being off the beaten path a little bit.
Yeah.
But by getting there, you drive through some of the most ruggedly beautiful countryside in California, and you get there and you're relieved to be there. And then the course of the 4 days we were there, each day held a new surprise and a new revelation. You learn something about yourself and about other people and about the way you deal with other people every day. You also came away at the end of the evening not wanting the evening to end, but also wanting the opportunity to go outside into the desert night and just be with what was around. It was truly an amazing experience. I got to watch it. I got to participate in it. I was actually, and I'm not trying to negate Mary's reliance on me, I worked the seminar.
Right. You had a unique perspective because Randy came to my first Inner Peace Infusion retreat, which was the pilot for this retreat, and offered to participate in an AV role with music and slide and made really to turn this into it's a multimedia event above and beyond just Inner Peace, and that is because of you, Randy, and it was so tremendous. So you had the unique advantage point of seeing people transforming throughout the week, which
I did
kind of blew me away too.
And there were transformations that took place. People were coming to find new ewes, Y-O-U-S's, as opposed to the sheep. And there were a number of people who left a great deal of baggage in the room when the week was over. And there are a couple of people that I have in mind, including one woman who was still wrestling with the dissolution of her marriage tremendously in the first two or three days, and then on the final day it was done, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost 10 years in appearance.
Yep.
And truly left her baggage on the floor. It's a great experience. There's a great community. There's some great AV work too.
We have a really great AV guy, so
I cannot recommend it highly enough, and the probably the best thing about it is the ultimate intimate care that Mary takes of the people who are in the room.
Oh, thank you.
You're truly surrounded
thanks.
By a safe environment where you are free to explore whatever it is about you and your personality that needs exploration. There is not a better place on the planet, in my estimation, to do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And part of that is also because we have an amazing support team. It's not just me. It's I've recruited just a top-notch group of people to really make sure that you're totally taken care of because that's very important. So thanks for letting me put you on the spot, Randy.
No worries.
All righty. So let's dig into talking about transforming limiting beliefs. First off, I want to give a little bit of definition to what is a belief. And a belief simply is a habit of thought. A belief is simply a habit of thought. A couple other things about beliefs: that our thoughts affect and shape our reality. All right, we're going to see more about that here in a minute, but our thoughts affect and shape our reality. Another concept is all thoughts are made up by the mind. So all thoughts are made up by the mind. And that just means a thought isn't necessarily truth per se. It's something that the mind, you know, manufactures. Sometimes it relates directly to truth. Sometimes it can be so far skewed away from the truth. But thoughts basically come from the mind. And we can consciously choose to adopt beliefs to more favorably support our lives. And one of the women that has influenced me over the years is a woman named Deborah Russell, who actually used to run some of the rooms for Tony Robbins for many years. And she always talked about herself as a belief collector. She said, "I'm always on the hunt for a really, you know, really empowering beliefs." So she'll be, whether she's listening to Tony Robbins on stage or somebody on television or a friend in casual conversation, she's looking for what are these key beliefs that she can adopt that if she adopts and integrates really could make a difference in her life. So I want to really invite you to become a belief collector both tonight and as you move forward from this call. So let's identify the four steps in the belief cycle. And to do this, probably the easiest way is to pull out a sheet of paper, and I want you to create a big square, and then divide that square into four squares. Right? So it's, so you basically have four squares. And in the lower left-hand corner, I want you to write beliefs. In the upper left-hand corner, I want you to write actions. In the upper right-hand corner, I want you to write results. And in the lower right-hand corner, I want you to write meaning. So we're going to start with beliefs. And I want you to draw an arrow from beliefs to actions, and an arrow from actions to results, an arrow from results to meaning, and an arrow from meaning to beliefs. So this is the belief cycle. And now that you've got a visual, let me give you the explanation of what this really means. So if everything starts with a belief, now whatever belief that we have is going to influence what actions we take, right? And whatever actions we take is going to influence the kind of results that we get. And whatever results we get, because we are meaning-making machines, we're going to put some kind of meaning based on that result. And more than likely, that meaning is going to influence whatever the original belief is. Right? So let's play that out in real life. Let's take the belief of, I'm a good cook. Right? If I'm a good cook, what kind of actions might I take? Well, I might cook a lot. I might get creative. Right? I might experiment, do all these things. What kind of results? If I cook a lot and I get creative, follow recipes, I might get some good results, right? Yeah, absolutely. I get good results. I put the meaning on. Oh, you know, that means I'm a good cook, you know, and that's reinforcing the belief, right? Which means I cook more, I get good results. And here's the thing. What happens if I hold a belief that I'm a good cook? What if I cook a bad meal? Well, if I'm a good cook, I might just chalk it up that, well, it's a fluke. Or maybe I'll blame the recipe. Or maybe I'll say, well, I was just hurried and rushed. But I'm going to find a meaning that is going to support my original belief that I'm a good cook, right? Well, and I'm going to open up the lines, see if we can, I'm going to open up the lines. Anyone hold the belief that they're not a good cook?
Well, if there's nobody there, there's definitely me, Gail. I'm not a good cook.
Okay, good. All right, great. So, thank you for volunteering and admitting that here publicly. So, what kind of actions do you take?
Around cooking?
Around cooking, yeah.
I married a chef.
That was smart.
I take very little. I don't keep food in the house, and I go out.
Yeah, okay.
My actions are kind of in the opposite. Like, I don't take action.
I don't take action, right. So what kind of results then do you get in the kitchen, aside from your good husband?
None. I can expand on the action things. Like, try to, if I do cook, I only cook one thing. Like, I never try to cook more than one thing at once.
Mm-hmm.
So it's boring.
Okay.
It is boring, and I try to do stuff that's really easy, and I'm never satisfied with it.
Yeah, okay.
So it keeps forcing me to, it feels like it keeps forcing me to go out and find other options, or sometimes I just don't eat.
Or don't eat, okay. Mm-hmm. Great. And interesting, as we're listening here, so great, the actions, focusing on one thing, eating out, you know, not eating, the results, you know, certainly not a whole lot in the cooking department, maybe one dish, but I notice even the one dish, we get a label of a meaning of, well, one thing is boring.
Right.
Interesting. And have you ever, and what happens if you cook a good meal, like a really good meal?
Well, I actually have done that, and the first thing that comes to mind is I've had people say this is really good, and then I kind of go, oh, yeah, well, it's like kind of a fluke.
Yeah.
You know, I discount it. I don't own it.
Yep.
I certainly don't roll it into any meaning, anything related to me being a good cook.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, the recipe was really clear, and I followed it well.
Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with you.
It had nothing to do with me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So thank you for being an example of just demonstrating our belief cycle here. And but it's, of course, pretty common that the tendency is to reinforce our original beliefs, even if it goes counter to reality. And I see this a lot with, one that is very, very popular is people that, I'm not good with technology. Not good with technology, so what? They don't really spend time with technology, or when they do, it's so limited, and it's brought with a whole bunch of frustration and anxiety. So then, you know, they're bringing all kinds of anxiety to technology. The kind of results they get is, oh, my gosh, nothing's working. And then they have to call, you know, technical support and just, you know, keep putting the meeting on. See, I'm just not good with technology. I'm not good with technology. And, you know, there goes the cycle. So
can I just share how powerful this is?
Sure.
So present, having shared with you how kind of pervasive it is, because I literally have tons of evidence that not only can I cook, but that I'm a good cook. Like, I have a gourmet chef husband who likes me to cook for him.
Wow.
And still, I persist with this belief that I'm not a good cook.
Right.
Like, and I literally didn't remember that. I didn't see that I was continuing to do that until I jumped in and was willing to share this embarrassing thing that I'm a bad cook. It's just so pervasive, that belief thing. It's so great to bring, you know, awareness to it again. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, and of course, the good news is that we can break the belief cycle at any one of these four corners. So, you know, we can start with a different belief. I mean, not to say that, Gail, you need to, you know, change your belief that, you know, you're now a good cook. I suppose you could. You may want to try that on. Who knows? But you could change it at the level of belief. You could change it at the level of action, right? It's like, okay, maybe I'm not a good cook, but you know what? I'm going to just I'm going to get good. I'm going to do, who's the gal with the movie Julia and Julia, that she was going to do every recipe in Julia Child's French cookbook. She was going to get good. Who cares where she started? I'm just doing them all, right? Massive action. And would cooking 360, well, actually, I think there were like 500-something recipes in that book. You know, would that create some results? Of course, absolutely. Yep. So there we have different results. And then the big one is at the level of meaning. And this is really where we unknowingly reinforce limiting beliefs, is we just keep making up meanings that are aligning with these original beliefs, whether or not the belief serves us. We are meaning-making machines. And if we can really begin to start looking at the meaning and really start breaking it down, and you can begin to do this even here tonight on this call, is begin to start mapping out, what are some of your current beliefs, maybe a belief that you want to change, and begin to look at how the belief cycle is working for you and where you might be able to start managing meaning. So that's definitely the most significant area. We want to be careful about what beliefs that we're reinforcing. Now, we may think, I just can't handle a certain something. A big one I hear with coaches and authors or speakers is, I'm not ready yet. It's like, well, and what are we doing? We're constantly reinforcing, I'm not ready yet. And so you're looking for the evidence and results that you're not ready. You're looking for the times when you make a mistake, or you're looking for the times that you've procrastinated on getting a project done. See, I'm not ready. So you literally will manifest results that will reinforce that belief. So I want to really invite you to begin to get curious about what programming is driving you, and really, really embrace that we can break the belief cycle at any juncture. So I am going to open the lines. Those of you, we've got a group here on listening live. I want to do a little brainstorming here about, we're going to start with examples of empowering beliefs. So I'll kind of, to get everybody warmed up, give a few here, and then I'll pull from our listening audience that are maybe willing to share a few things live. So examples of empowering beliefs: I'm provided for in every moment. I'm easy to love. How about, we're always at choice? It's one of my favorite ones, actually. Or, all is well. Like, really to hold the core belief that all is well in any moment, even when things aren't going according to plan, that even in the midst of chaos, that no matter how much is going right or not, that really all is well at the core. Or, I can handle anything. One from Bijan. Bijan is a great spiritual teacher, and one of his beliefs is, the more I laugh, the more money I make. How's that for a good one? There's more than enough time. So let's hear from some of you. What are some examples of some empowering beliefs? And I'll also look here in our webcast, see if anyone's got any additions.
Hi, Mary, it's Louise.
Hey, Louise.
Hey.
Great to hear your voice.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, good.
So my empowering, one of my new empowering beliefs is that I am powerful and capable.
Love it. I'm powerful and capable. Love it.
Mary, it's Randy again.
Yeah, Randy.
my best day hasn't happened yet.
Ah. Great. My best day hasn't happened yet.
This is Gail again.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Randy. It's good to hear your voice, too. I took on, years ago, from Stark, if that's her name, one similar to one you mentioned, and that is the more naps I take, the more money I make. And it is so true in my life.
Ooh, that's nice. The more naps I take, the more money I make.
Yes.
Ah, oh, amen. That feels good, huh? About one more. About this one. You can't get it wrong. The perfect people always come along at the perfect time. Okay, so let's move to the next piece. Oh, and here's another great one. Everything happens for a reason and a purpose that serves me. So now we want to look at limiting beliefs. And I'm going to just pop this here. So limiting beliefs. So we want to really do some good work at kind of uncovering any limiting beliefs that may be lurking in the corners. So how we can do this is first we might look at our top three goals and look at what may be getting in the way of your progress. Right? We might look at, it might be related to expanding your ability to receive. What's really limiting your ability to receive? What's the story? What's the belief you have about expanding your ability to receive? I'm already pushed to my limits. I can't do any more. But the economy. Maybe it's related to a certain area of life. So you can take, it could be finances, relationships, career, personal growth, health, fun, relaxing, organization, time management, intimacy. Take any one of those, anywhere where there's maybe some stickiness, what limiting beliefs do you have there? You can also look at relating to your identity, about your age or your ability and skills or your education level or your capacity or habits. I don't have a college degree, therefore, or, I'm too old, I'm too young. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good writer. I just can't handle it. I'm just lazy. I'm not a disciplined person. Ooh, right? Maybe look at anything that stands in the way of your inner peace. Why can't you have inner peace or fulfillment on a deeper level? Anything that may stand in the way of your success. Why can't you have all the success you desire? So let's I'm going to open up the lines here again and give you a moment here to maybe jot down what you think may be one or more of your most limiting beliefs. And then we're going to look at how can we actually do some belief busting? How can we transform those limiting beliefs? So I'm going to open up the lines. And so who'd be willing to share a limiting belief? Who'd be willing to jump in? It might be a limiting belief about sharing your limiting beliefs on a public forum. I can't do that. So I'll give you some examples here. It won't make a difference. Or I'm not strong enough. These are all coming from previous calls that I've led. I can't be with intense emotions. Or I'm supposed to be somewhere else. How would it be to go and live life with I'm supposed to be somewhere else? Right? If you're supposed to be somewhere else, it's like, boy, can you imagine just a sense of anxiety of, it's like, you know, I need to figure out where I'm supposed to be and, you know, totally not being in the present moment. Here's some other examples. I can't do it without a credential. And of course, tell that one to Bill Gates, right, who didn't finish his degree. Lots of examples of very successful entrepreneurs who didn't finish their degrees. Or, yeah, I don't know how. Or, I can't do it. I don't have anything worthy of sharing. Or, I may make a fool of myself. Maybe it's too hard. Oh, here's one of my super, super favorite ones. There's too much to do. Or, people don't change. Of course, with something like people don't change, tell that to a billionaire who used to eat out of dumpsters, right? Or somebody who's lost 100 pounds. Like, people don't change. So I'm going to open up the lines here. And who would be willing to share? I'd love to get a couple live examples of most limiting beliefs.
This is Gail. Mine is in the realm of, it lives in my head like I don't want to interrupt or bother somebody, but the belief is that who I am could interrupt or bother somebody and they won't like it.
Mm.
Like if I say what I want to say or ask what I want to ask, they'll feel interrupted or bothered and that'll be bad. Something in that world.
Gotcha. Yeah. And what if they're, like, just waiting for, like, they're waiting for your input? They're looking for it. Mm-hmm. Great example. Who else would be willing to share?
Mary, this is Louise again.
Yeah, Louise.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not organized enough.
I'm not organized enough.
I think there's a few that go together there. I'm not organized enough. I'm not focused enough. I'm not disciplined enough. It all kind of marries together.
Ah, great. And isn't that just how it is, right? Usually it's not one. We got a combination. And they all kind of reinforce
each other.
Yeah. They all kind of reinforce each other.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And with each one of these, you know, could say, I'm not organized enough. It's like we might look at, well, you know, what does organized enough look like?
Mm.
Right? Or, you know, I'm not focused enough. And it's like we might look, well, what are you focused on? Mm. You know? If you're with a client and they're in crisis, or you have a guest, because I know, Louise, you've got your own radio show, right? Do you have the ability to focus 100% on that guest or client?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the irony is, it's like, when I look at my radio show as being one entity as part of what I do, I feel very disciplined and focused and organized in that one particular area, which is kind of interesting because it reinforces all the good things. You know, it's telling me that I am all of those things. But in other areas, I feel so, you know, all those beliefs come up.
Oh, right, right, exactly. So we've got the beliefs, which, and so what kind of actions do you take as a result?
It's very haphazard.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
And because it's haphazard, what kind of results do you get? Aside from your radio show, which is fabulous.
Haphazard.
Haphazard. Great. And then we can see, of course, we take something like your radio show that's so great. It's like, what meaning do we put on that? It's like, well, that's just my radio show.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's weird because I feel very proud of what I've accomplished with the radio show. You know, it's
as you should. I think. I mean, you do a phenomenal job.
Thank you. Just translating that in other areas of life. You know, and how do I keep myself accountable to myself? You know, I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not accountable to myself.
Right, and boy, and
other areas.
There's another great belief. I'm not accountable to myself. Beautiful. Although it certainly seems that it's not a lack of ability. It may be more at the belief issue. You know?
Yeah.
The level of belief. And by the way, I think it's true for probably about 99% of the population that when we really when we really decide we're going to focus on something and make something, you know, give it our 100% attention, we do take those actions, we do get the results we want, and then, you know, the cycle goes up. We cycle.
Yeah.
Really nice. Well, so let's jump into, for those of you that shared, how does it feel to name the disempowering beliefs? So, Louise, for you, how is it to just
feel? It feels kind of icky right now because I'm kind of, it feels like I'm reinforcing it for myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, it's like, yes, I am actually really undisciplined and unfocused, and it's the feelings of frustration come up around that and judgment, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also see a part of you that's not 100% buying it, that is really just noticing what these beliefs are.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I'm here in this group, you know, because it'll give me a sense of accountability with the things that I'm doing. You know, it's about getting the support that I need to keep moving forward. So, you know, I know that it is possible. It's just, you know, taking myself out of my own space and headspace.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so great belief. I know it's possible. And actually,
yeah, I believe anything's possible.
Yeah. So great belief on that, and also smart. I need to get out of a certain headspace. So that's maybe a nice noticing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else want to just chime in about either a disempowering belief or how it feels to name these disempowering beliefs?
This is Ruth.
Yeah, Ruth.
Hi. My limiting belief is that I can't change my limiting belief.
Ah, well, there's a good one.
It's like really embedded in there.
Great. Boy, that's a good one. Well, and what if you could?
Yes. I believe that I can, like, in my head, but somewhere else in me, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Yeah, gotcha. And that's exactly how powerful a belief is. It's like, nope, you know, we just want to keep cycling back around. Like, no, it's like in reinforcing it and reinforcing it. So let's talk about how we might be able to do this and see if we can't challenge Ruth's assumption here. There may be some others listening and that share that same belief. So there are lots of things we can do. We're going to run through 8 kind of key ways, and each one we'll see, you'll have an opportunity to apply these to some of the ones that you jotted down on your sheet of paper. And then when I get through these, we'll check in and get some examples of new empowering beliefs. So those of you that shared, Bruce, Louise, Gail, be great to have you share then what your new empowering beliefs are. And we're happy to take more shares from other people as well. So, first thing we can do is very, very simple, which is just to turn around a limiting belief by finding a belief that would counterbalance it. So very much often just going with the opposite, right? So we want to just turn it around. So an example of that could be, you know, people don't change. Well, people do change, right? Sounds really simple. People, you know, just going with the opposite. Or I can change my limiting beliefs. We're going to get further along about how we can drive that deeper. So that's one simple way, is just going with an opposite. Second key way is to question the reality of the belief. So this means, is it really true in reality? Like really to check it out. You know, I'm not disciplined enough. It's like, you know, is that really true in reality? Really challenge that. And begin to take inventory of maybe where, well, gosh, I'm disciplined here. It's like I sleep every night. I manage to get in, you know, 2-3 meals each day. I brush my teeth each day. You know, we can begin to take inventory of all the things that you are disciplined enough. We can look at also, you know, is it really bad in reality? So this is part of the same one. Is it true in reality? Is it really bad in reality? So, for example, you know, I might have a belief that my progress isn't enough. You know, is it really bad in reality that my progress, you know, isn't more? Or is this really true in reality? My girlfriend doesn't care. Or I'm not special. Is that really true in reality? If we really, you know, get honest with ourselves, maybe check in with the boyfriend, check in with others around us, you know, would they unanimously agree? So very often we come up with these beliefs that, you know, are just really not so in reality. So that's the second thing. Question the reality of the belief. Here's the third. This takes us to the land of Byron Katie. Who would you be without the thought? Who would you be without the thought, I can't change my limiting beliefs? Who would you be without the thought, I might mess it up? Without the thought, I might mess it up, maybe I would be more present. Maybe I'd be more available for success, right? If my attention wasn't focused on crashing into the side of the wall, maybe I would, you know, just gracefully circle around the racetrack. So who would I be without this thought? I was noticing this in my own life with somebody had made a certain judgment about my husband, and it was something like, you know, well, maybe he's not as smart as he thinks he is. And I really started buying into that belief, and I'm like, God, maybe that's true. Maybe he's really not as smart as he thinks he is. And just the attachment to that one thought, you know, was having me get really critical of him. You know, who would I be without the thought? I would really love and respect who he is. One night I was focusing on that thought. I was really irritable and picking on him, bless his heart. Next day I was listening to him on a phone call without that thought. And I just was really admiring how present he was and how commanding he was in handling that particular situation. Right? It can make a big difference. Here's number four, is we want to see if there's some kind of a cousin belief that is the real culprit. So there might be a belief behind the belief, right? So, you know, maybe, as Louise pointed out, you know, I'm not organized enough, I'm not focused enough, I'm not disciplined enough. You know, we might look, is there another belief behind the belief that, you know, maybe it's, you know, I'm not clear about my next step. Or, you know, I don't have all the resources. You know, maybe it's something completely different. So we want to, here's another example of applying that one. So if I have the belief there's too much to do, the belief behind the belief might be, well, I need to do it all in order to be okay, or in order to be at peace. So what's the belief behind the belief? And it could be a belief behind the belief with, let's say, I can't change my limiting belief. Actually, with this one, you know, it's like without that thought, it's like, wow, then I would really be held accountable to make some changes in my life. You know, I could no longer be a victim to my own mind. So we want to just look and see if there's any other cousin belief that's related to the original belief and see if that's the real culprit. Number five, we want to look for examples and evidence where the belief is simply false, and we want to look at examples where the empowering belief is strong. So, great strategy, right? If we take a belief like, you know, say I can't handle it, we create a new belief, I can handle it, maybe we go and we take inventory of all the things that we can handle. Oh, you know, how you've shown up for your family, how you've excelled in business. Maybe it's, you know, you've raised money for charities and organizations. Maybe you've handled, you know, working with large groups of people. Maybe you've had to manage, you know, going through a serious illness or crisis. You know, really to take inventory. So we want to look for evidence where the belief is false and examples where the empowering belief is strong. You know, so this, if I have the belief I can't handle it, you know, where are all the places is that just simply not true? Well, I said I couldn't handle running a radio show, but then, you know, poof, you know, here I've done it for X number of years, X number of shows. So we go to number six, which is to find a belief that would align you even more deeply to your goals. So this one, it's great. If you've got a project that you want to get done, you might actually go hunting, you know, as a belief collector for a belief that really would align you with your goal. So one example, when I was getting my book, The Power of Inner Choice, off to publishing, as we were, you know, getting closer and closer to the deadline, the gal that was working with me on the project was going through some challenges, and I was really getting worried that we're not going to be able to make the deadline. And I kept thinking, "Oh my gosh, we're not going to get this done. I'm going to miss the deadline. I'm going to miss the deadline." You know, very bad mantra, right? So I know this about beliefs. So I decided, okay, what is something that would allow me to align more deeply with that goal? And so what I came up with is it's all coming together. It's something I could genuinely believe. It's not, okay, it's going to be on time or it's going to come together perfectly. It's all coming together. Because even the tiniest of progress was validating and reinforcing that original belief. I could manage the meaning in really driving that belief. It's all coming together. And then here's, okay, so now we've got one more. So this is number seven. And this is really more of a, as you're naming your new beliefs, you want to do a little check and just see, is there any downside to this new belief? You know, it'll eventually get done. It's like, well, it'll eventually get done. You know, is there a downside to that? Well, it might set me up to be an eternal procrastinator. It'll eventually get done. It's like it's always getting done in the future. maybe isn't the best one. Maybe if I have the belief, it's not up to me. Again, that might more reinforce a victim mindset. And Randy said an interesting one earlier about my best day hasn't happened yet. And I see that as a great belief in terms of a positive expectancy, like it's kind of just getting better and better. We might also look, you know, is there a downside to that belief? My best day hasn't happened yet is always waiting for the best day to happen. Yeah. So it kind of depends on how you spin it and how you're internalizing it. So I know Randy maybe is putting the positive spin, but that's an example of, just depends on how you and dance with that one. And then last kind of belief busting tip is my new belief grounded in reality? If you're holding a belief that I don't need to work out or watch my calorie intake to lose weight, it's possible that you may just be delusional. So I believe in the power of the mind, and I also believe, I believe, that you know, there are certain laws of the universe. Calories in equals weight. I mean, it's, you know, carbs. I'm currently reading The Belly Fat Cure by Jorge Cruz. Great book, really talking about what drives your insulin levels up and down and certain kind of carbs and the whole science and chemistry behind eating and calories. And it's not even so much calories. It's the kind of calories that affect the insulin level. If it's, I have a belief I can eat anything I want, and that's allowing me to make a lot of unhealthy choices, then we might want to come back and come up with a different belief. We want to make sure your belief is grounded in reality. Or if you've been trying to raise funds for a business and you keep approaching the same kind of investor, you know, it's like, well, if you've got the same strategy and you think, well, if I just keep doing this, it's going to work. The reality is whatever strategy you're doing, if you're doing it over and over and over again and we're expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. So there we go. I've got a little bit here after the hour. Let's get some examples of some empowering beliefs. I'm going to open up the lines here. Or you can press star 2 and I can mute you. But who'd like to jump in and share what you came up with as far as new empowering beliefs?
Mary, this is Gail.
Yeah, Gail.
And I'm working through all those hints with mine. What I came up with is when I speak out, I get what I want.
Ah. Very nice. When I speak out, I get what I want. Love it. Who would like to share a new empowering belief? I'll give you a couple examples here. Success is easy. Or I joyfully experience intense emotions. You know, and could that really be true? I joyfully experience intense emotions. If you have that belief and the intense emotion comes and you hold that belief, you may lean into that feeling in a different way than you have before, maybe embracing it more instead of resisting it. You're going to find that the result, any feeling fully felt, transforms. You might all of a sudden get a nice result because it transforms instead of stays intense. Come up with a new meaning. Wow, it's like I love to feel into intense emotions. We've got a new empowering meaning that can continue to reinforce our new belief cycle. People want to hear what I have to say. And Gail, I know you stated your new empowering belief, and then we kind of have like a lot of static. I just want to reinforce your new belief is a very good one. People do want to hear what you have to say. And I said it's all coming together. Okay, so we've got some good examples here. I'm going to be putting these into the forum. So there'll be lots of examples of new empowering beliefs. And let me just offer up a couple little tips here in anchoring in new beliefs, and we'll wrap up the call here. One is about, you know, it's like one thing to name it, but it's another thing to really live into the belief. So act as if, take action from this new belief. You know, people really want to hear what I have to say. Great. Just be willing to speak up more than you might normally have spoken. Here's another key is you might work on certain emotional muscles. So if it's really about, you know, expanding your ability to receive and attracting abundance, you might really consciously work to flex, you know, flex some of those emotional muscles around receiving, around worthiness. Or let's take, Louise's example earlier about being disciplined and organized. You know, the emotional muscles, like how it feels to just, you know, be willing, willingness itself is a great emotional muscle. I'm willing to sit down and spend 10 minutes and organize my day. Yeah, I'm willing to take the actions, to make the phone calls, or to sit down and do the writing, to do what is necessary to realize my goal. I'll say a little bit about affirmations. Another great way to reinforce a new empowering belief is taking an affirmation and not just having the words, but really emotionally connecting to it. There was a time, gosh, years ago now, and I read this, actually a great book called Affirmations by Stuart Wild. He's a great spiritual teacher. And there were so many really cool affirmations I'd never heard of at the time, and I ended up typing up this whole big, probably a couple pages worth of affirmations. And periodically, I would go through that list of affirmations and not just read them mentally, but read them emotionally, allowing myself to connect in and feel into that new belief. And many of those, I bet if I go back to that list, I'm sure I've got it somewhere in a file tucked somewhere in my archives, that a lot of those affirmations that started back then, because I emotionally connected with them time and time again, they really are a part of my now belief system. So that's good. You want to look for references about how this new belief is already true in reality. So as we were talking about Louise is an example, really just paying close attention about all the places that she's focused, all the places she's disciplined, all the places she's organized, and really, really be reinforcing how, wow, it's like totally, you know, great here, great here, great here, and then bring some of what's working in the areas that are just, you know, really going super well. You know, what are some of the same things that you do, let's say for Louise's radio show, what does she do to be focused, disciplined, and organized? How can she bring those habits, you know, into some other areas of her business? And the last thing about anchoring in new beliefs is to really get that beliefs are all made up. Yep. So we get to, you know, if beliefs are made up, make up the good ones, because our minds are so adaptable. When we get focused on something, and here I use that example of taking the belief about my husband that, well, maybe he's not as smart as he thinks he is. You know, me buying into that belief, it was just buying into it. My mind did it, and it sent me down a path that had me apologizing the next day. You know, it's like, okay, this is, you know, what happens, that and, you know, combination of hormones could not lead to good things, right? Versus making up good ones. Like, yeah, you know, what if I can change? I was just talking with one of my clients this morning about, actually, she also was at the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat and actually was well headed into a divorce. This is actually a different person than the one Randy was referencing earlier. they had already moved out. The papers had been filed. You know, it was pretty much, you know, kind of an any day kind of thing. And, you know, she came out of the retreat actually with a beingness of inner peace where when she was interacting with him, she was all of a sudden way more peaceful and grounded and was stopping and just really listening and hearing whatever he had to say. And what's funny is he started saying, well, gosh, it's like, you know, you're changing. You know, you've changed. You've really changed. And, you know, we were talking today that it's like, wow, you know, I really believe now it's like people can change, not so much even herself. Of course, she changed, but he's now changed. You know, here's a husband that was totally, completely had left, went off and had an affair, totally came back and realized that, oh my gosh, it's like I've got what I want right here. I don't want to leave, and has done a whole 180 about faith. So really goes to show, you know, where the mind is really can impact anything. You know, people really can change, and I think a lot of her friends are going to be totally blown away, surprised, and may not believe it themselves, but hey, stay tuned, right? People get, results speak for themselves. So that kind of wraps up here tonight's call. I'm going to open up the lines here as I always like to, one more thing, and that is just an assignment for this week, and that is I'd like you to identify 5 of your most limiting beliefs. So really hone in. Maybe you've brainstormed more than that while you've been listening. Identify at least 5 of your most limiting beliefs. Write them down. And then I want you to identify 5 new empowering beliefs that will align you more closely to your desired objectives. And next time, in 2 weeks, we will be talking about releasing stressful thoughts. So that'll kind of be a continuation of this call. So you can kind of bring those to the call. I'd love, love, love if you'd be willing to share your 5 most limiting beliefs and your 5 new empowering beliefs in the forum in Momentum Mastery. And as always, I'd love to end the call by just checking in with our live listening audience. And just hearing, you know, what are you taking of value from today's call? What are you taking of value from today's call?
Mary, this is Louise.
Yes, Louise.
What I'm taking away is a curiosity of what else is there that's stopping me. You know, just all the examples that you listed really gave me more insight into what might be lurking.
Good.
So I'm excited to explore a little bit more and just be open to what shows up there.
Awesome. Beautiful. When we bring curiosity to any belief, anything in life, boy, things really can shift and change. Who else would be willing to share what you're taking of value from today's call?
People have more to offer than they give themselves credit for.
Yeah.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Ah, I was thinking of saying something about just how amazing when I'm listening, I feel incredibly quiet inside, like there's nothing to say. It's almost like I've been wondering why I don't have more of a questioning mind at this moment, which I normally have going on all the time. So I was trying to even figure out what is a limiting belief that says it's probably safer to be quiet.
Ah, yeah. It's safer to be quiet. Really nice. Really nice. So fabulous. And what's your first name?
Anne.
And Anne, what else are you taking of value from today's call?
What I was actually thinking is just how the preference is to be amazed at what I'm listening to realize all these beliefs are always going on 24 hours a day, and what you've offered is a way to snag them and to examine them with a certain clarity that I think I'm more fascinated by. It's like, what do I ask?
Yeah.
It's kind of like marveling at the process.
Well, beautiful. Well, good. Well, you've got these tools to take with you now, and at any time you want to do a little clean sweep if you're feeling a little stuck, you know, great time to do it. And when things are really peaceful, it's like, hey, you know, no sense in trying to find a belief that's not working for you. We only want to, like, go poking in the corners where things aren't working in your life. So,
well, I do appreciate the opportunity to explore both what you've been presenting and the sense of, why am I feeling so quiet? I can't answer at the moment, but I know that that's been... Then every time you've asked the question, I go, I don't understand this. Normally I've got 10 going on.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You know, part of the intention of Momentum Mastery is really to allow each of us, each time we come to this call, to connect into that space of inner peace. And so it's definitely happened many times before where we've, I think it was a few weeks after the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat, and we were talking about inner peace culprits, and several people on the call were like, you know, I'm just really not connected to any of my inner peace culprits. I'm in this, like, great zone. So you will never get in trouble here for being in a good zone. It's, you know, bask in that and take it with you and deepen this over, you know, over your coming weeks.
Much appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you. What a beautiful way for us to wrap up this call. I will look forward to, I had some notes in the forum about that they're excited to participate in the retreat challenge, and I'll be getting out more information about how you can do that, and because as everybody, you know, we've got, you know, gosh, almost 100 people in the forum right now, so a lot of really quality people. It can become a fun resource and a great place, and if everyone puts their energy there at once, it'll be a fun playground as we move forward this year. And so you've got your homework assignment, and I really invite you to pull the form down, the Momentum Mastery prep form, and complete that. I'll be looking for you, and the forum, and we'll see you on the next call, February 15th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and until then, have a fabulous, fabulous day. All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.